good that you all made it out. Good that we have such a goodly number among us, too. People we haven't seen in a while. It's just such a blessing. You're a sight for sore eyes because they are sore at times. And it's good to see everybody come out tonight. We pray, trust, and hope you brought your Bibles with you. And this is just a Bible study we have tonight. You know, some people look for preachers and orators, you know, some great orator and all that other stuff and exhortation. We're just going to have a Bible study tonight. Is that all right? You know, I'm just saying, I love sharing lessons with you that I've studied. But this is one that's continually on my mind at all times. Continually on my mind at all times. For your references, if you got your pen and paper, I want you to write down Matthew 13, 3 to 23, or 2 to 23. Mark 4, 2 to 20. Luke 8, 4 through 15. These are it's where you find the parable of the sower. But tonight, all I want to do is talk about the last one. And that's going to be Matthew 13, 23, Mark 4, 20, and Luke 8 and 15. Now those other three sowers, we all know about. We know that the wayside sower is hard ground. It's packed. Solid. Seed hit it, nothing's going to grow. The stony sower, we know that it's shallow, small amount of dirt. Over in Palestine, it was an area that was known as what Jesus was referencing because the little rock shelf is under it. Couldn't grow nothing. I'm quite sure you super Bible students know that. But so what I'm getting at is that but everybody else, it's just an area where it won't produce nothing. It doesn't give you a chance to get deep where you can get some roots in there where you can grow. You won't struggle. Because you're struggling there and you're going to die. And then the other one, is this thorny ground. That we know that you can look out there as you drive down the road today and you see weeds and stuff all over the side of the road. Can you imagine a tomato or a squash or something trying to grow in that? Not going to do anything. Not going to have any life. It's there, but it's not going to produce no fruit. You see, because what I'm evident what we're talking about is today and what we're going to talk about tonight, we had evidence of the word producing fruit today at the end of Brother Lyle's sermon. When Marvin Finkley came forward and said he wanted to do what was right, that he might be right with the Lord. And that's what the Word of God does. Helps us get right with the Lord. So today is what he exercises, what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, I'm going to read this stuff. I wrote this thing. I actually wrote this. It was just notes I made as I was going on. I said that the good ground represents the person who hears the word, accepts it, and brings forth to the glory of God. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Matter of fact, manifestation of that occurs. Now, we saw his in the outward form. But anytime we come to Bible study, or anytime we engage each day in Bible study in our own homes, our own meditation moments of hour, we are still blessed according to James 1:25 because we're doing what? Looking into the perfect law of liberty. And one thing that we've learned here, we call it the 66, right? We know what those 66 books. We know that's the 5, 12, 5, 17, 4, 1, 21, and 1. Now, for those of you who are unaware of what we're talking about, it's nothing but that the God's book, the Bible, the plan of salvation that tells us what we need to do in order to maintain life in this life. All right? so we can stay on the same page. Let's look at this here. Give you some more intro before we get to it. The seed, it says, represents the word of God, according to Luke 8:11. The four kinds of soil we've talked about, they represent the different attitudes of these who hear God's word. When Jesus spoke this parable, his enemies were mounting opposition against him, and already different responses to his message has become evident. Now, let us turn to John 6. We're going to look at this attitude. We're going to look at this attitude. John, the 6th chapter. And I shall read it within your hearing. With verse number 60, beginning. John, the 6th chapter, verse number 60, beginning. This just shows you, it expresses the attitude. We got people like that today. They obey the gospel because they get into that shallow soil. And when you get in that shallow soil, you ain't got no way to grow no deeps and no roots where you can have something to stand on. So when persecution, the trials, the tribulation because of the word arise, you can't stand. You wither away and you go ahead and give in to the people you're supposed to be standing up against. Beginning in verse number 60 in John 6 chapter, it says this. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, this was talking about when Jesus was talking about his blood and his that he's the bread of life, and whoever eats the drink of his blood, and that people can understand that future tense of what he was talking about, that were going to partake in the kingdom. Man, there were some strong sayings. Some of us today still don't understand it. So he says, many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth; the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. You see, the word says, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. And the word of God tells us the most saddening statement. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Not sad on Jesus' part, but sad just like today for those who go back, fall from grace, and walk with Jesus no more. Because they're operating in those other three. Wayside soil, stony and thorny soil. Well, however, no matter how many fail to bear good fruit, there will be some who will respond and bring fruit, a plentiful harvest. They'll bring forth a plentiful harvest. Let's look at the fourth attitude of the mind and see what Matthew, Mark, and Luke had to say about that. Okay? Let's look at it. Let's see what these inspired writers wrote. Now we're going to break down each one of them. First, we're going to start with Matthew's 13:23. Then we'll go and look at Mark 4:20 and Luke 8:15. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. I'm just going to throw this at you and see if it has the same effect on you as it's been having on me for the past few months. Because it brings me from one point to another and keeps me going day by day and getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Especially when you can recognize it in others. Word of God says you shall know them by their fruits, and by their fruits you shall do what? Know them. All right now. Tree can only bear fruit of the same kind, because it's not going to produce oranges today and apples tomorrow. A fig tree, you know what I'm talking about. All right. Matthew 13:23. Matthew, writing to the strict Jew, wrote this. Y'all turn to Matthew's 13th chapter, I hope. 13th chapter, about verse number 23. Matthew wrote this here. He says, He says that, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now I broke it down and I put it into the four categories. I wrote that he said, good ground. He, personal, individual, individualized, okay? You, each and every one of you. If you want to be good ground, you have to receive this word. The first thing he said, he that receives seed in the good ground heareth the word. That means you're going to give attention to it. You're going to absorb it. It's going to become part of you. And in your receiving, it's just like when you're in school. The second thing is that, and understand it. It's a continual motion of faction. What you're doing is not something that you just do momentarily on Sundays, on Wednesdays. It's at all time. It's a part of you. Just like you like bacon and you like chicken and you like gravy and you like grits and eggs. When you eat it, you can tell it, can't you? It's stimulated. The word of God has that same effect. It's stimulated. It's delicious. You hear it, the word, and you understand it. It's producing something in you. And when you do that, it says the third thing, which also beareth fruit. You ain't gonna plant no watermelons out there and go out there and all you see is the watermelon vine and they never put a watermelon on the vine. You'll never buy that watermelon vine again, would you? It's gone. You're gonna get rid of that one, right? Peace tree. Same thing. 5-6 years, that big old tree didn't grow up, and now peach come on it. Plum tree, no plum. Blackberry, nobody. No, it's got to go, right? Same fruit. It's got to bear, bring forth fruit. And the last thing it said, which also beareth fruit, and then that fruit bringeth forth. You see, it does what it's supposed to do. Now that's Matthew's account of it. Let's break down Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 20th verse. Let's look at Mark, the 4th. Now y'all keep these things in mind now. Mark, the 4th chapter, the 20th verse. We've got to move right along so we can get this thing taken. I told you I wasn't going to belabor this. I'm going to hit it and run on Mark, the 4th chapter, and the 20th verse. It says this. Y'all there? And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Now, Mark, writing to another, a different audience, of an eclectic audience, says they. Shows the collectivity of saints working together. They which sown on good ground, first of all, such as, same thing. Go back to the first one. The first thing is heareth the word. Hear the word. Matthew says heareth. He says hear the word. Secondly, and understand it in Matthew, but the second over here he says and receive it. Brother, sister, if I tell you I'm going to give you something. And I says, look, I got this $10 here for you. And I walk up to you. And then you never reach your hand out to take it. What's that? You're not doing what? Okay. It can't benefit you if you don't do it. All right, that's just the simplest term that I could think about it. You know what I mean? You know, you got to receive it in order for it to work for you. And you're understanding what it's for and receiving it. And then once you receive it, it's going to have its intended forth of the third thing to bring forth fruit. All right now. Now, written, no. Let's go on to Luke. Let's go to Luke right quick. We're going to look at some biblical examples. Luke 8 and 15. In Luke 8 and 15, it says this right here. Come on here. I got this old Bible, man. I had this Bible so long it done broke apart. I took tape and stuck it together. It's limping on through, but it's doing good. It's limping, but it's doing good. It's hanging in there, almost old as I am. Luke 8:15 says this. But that, on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, let's look at this here. Luke says, the good ground are they in an honest and good heart. Did y'all get that? He didn't say no evil and mixed up heart. He didn't say no blind and wicked heart. He didn't say a double-minded heart. Did he? He didn't say I'm trying to live in the world at the same time and I'm living in Christ. He didn't say that. He said a person, the heart that's an honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. You know, you got something precious to you. You don't want to let it go, do you? Husband, love your wife even as the Lord loved his church. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Keep it. Love it. Encourage it. Nourish it. And bring forth what you need. That is, number four, it'll bring forth fruit. And guess what else? The last thing it says with what? Patience. Man, this ain't an overnight thing now. It ain't an overnight thing. You got to take your time for it. You see, they all been wondering what I've been wrestling with for the last few months. I love Matthew. So I've been wrestling with the things. So it's time for me to just share it with folks. Share it. I had something else I was going to write and bring to you. But something says, let them know what's going on in your life and what bringing you from one place to another. Let's look at some, just remember now. Remember what James said. Remember now what James said in James 1:25 over there. Now, hold on. Let's remember what James said in James 1:25. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue there, and he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Y'all want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? If you want to be blessed, you got to do what? A doer of the work. And you got to have a heart that hears the word and understandeth it, and it's going to bring forth fruit. You got to have a heart that such as when you hear the word, you got to receive it so you can bring forth some fruit. You got to have a heart that's in honest and good heart. Having heard the word, you're going to keep it, and then you'll bring forth fruit. That's what John, that's the only way to do. Let's look at some Old Testament examples. Quickly. Let's turn to Abel. Genesis 4:4. I'm glad I didn't write all of them what I thought I was going to write down, because usually I write a sermon, it's something the last 6 weeks, but this one right here, this is the last hour, but I'm going to try to break it down in a matter of a couple of more, about three more minutes. Genesis 4:4, and I'm going to run this. I may not be able to do all of them. Genesis 4:4. Where it says, and Abel also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. Now, is this not a good and honest heart? Adam, his father, told him what to do. He went forth and did it. Now, y'all say, well, they ain't no other example. Well, where else could he get it from? Huh? He heard, he received, he kept, and he did it. Now that shows you the emblem that God wanted. You can go to Numbers, the 18th chapter and 17th verse. You can see what's required for the forgiveness and offering. You can just write that down, study it on your timeline. And then Proverbs 3:9 says this here. I got to read that one though. And Proverbs 3:9, I want you to read that. Where it says that, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. See, that's what Proverbs 3:9 says. So you remember that. And that's what he did. But of course, now we won't get into what his brother did, because we know his brother didn't have a what? Good and honest heart. Hebrews 11:4 gives a testimony. Y'all can hold that Hebrew letter, that Hebrew chapter there for a minute. Don't hold it, because we're going to have a couple of more references. Hebrews 11 chapter, hold it. And then we're getting ready to wrap this thing up. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Isn't that amazing? Think about your life. You make the same choices that Abel did. God will be testifying for the righteous life that you live because of what? You did righteous. Because you had a good and honest heart. Noah, same thing. He found grace in God's eyes. Genesis 6 and 8. And we also know that Ezekiel had a testimony of Noah. I want you to go to Ezekiel 14th chapter. And we'll find out this testimony that Ezekiel had of Job, Daniel, and Noah. Starting in verses 14 and 20 is what we're going to, but you can read the rest of it at any time. It talks about how that only the individual can save himself and not the rest of the family. It's an individual, that person, he, and then we said they. Well, we see where he and then those who righteous around, they did it. So in the 14th verse, it says this. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. I want you to go back and read that so you can understand what it's talking about. And then it says in verse number, because you can read 15, 16, and 17, and 18 tells you about it. We're talking about the pestilence, the sword, and stuff, and how God is going to be killing folks and stuff like that. He said, but now each individual, if he is going to sacrifice for himself, and he's going to be delivered by himself, not somebody else. He can do it only for themselves. Me for myself, Alpha Hills, you know. You can't do it for your family members. They got to make that same division. That's when they come in, okay? And he says, verse 20, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. Individual thing, brothers and sisters. And we know that Jesus Christ, the great prophet, is also an example. He came and did what the Father said do. And he came and he made it possible for each and every one of us to do what? Go to heaven. And in John 17, we read that how he prayed for the glory to be glorified and how to be built up because he said he was coming back to the Father. He accomplished his mission. He did exactly what the Father sent him to do. Each and every one of us would have to do the same thing. So the question is, what attitude or mindset do you have? And I wrote these little things right down here because I hear them so much all the time. And it says, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Do you examine yourself daily? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do you come out among those who cause you to fall short and that cause you to be lost? Or do you continually hang around and keep yourself contaminated? We know that Romans 10:17 tells us, how do you hear to what God hears? Faith is supposed to build you up, doesn't it? And it's what it's supposed to, but I'm wondering. John 11:20, I want you to go to John 11 chapter, because you don't, Jesus asked Martha a question. Jesus asked Martha a question. This is my closing, y'all. I'm seriously closing right now. I want y'all to know that I'm seriously closing now. In John 11 chapter, go to verse number 21. We're going to start at verse number 21. John 11:21. Then said Martha to Jesus, this is after her brother had died. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He says unto her, that's as he says unto us, believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Do you believe? If you believe it, what is it going to prompt you to do? Acts 10, 17, and 30 says that, you know, we got to change our mind. We got to repent. Change our mind and our attitude. Martha and Mary had that. They changed their mind and their attitude. And then Acts 8, 36, it's like we asked that young man this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? He said, yes, I do. And what happened? He obeyed the gospel. He was baptized. According to Mark 16, 16, he that believeth in his spirit shall be what? Saved. So that's what we're talking about. When you have that good and honest heart, you manifest those qualities. I'm through. When you manifest those qualities, guess what? You are going to automatically, systematically, just flow on through, and it won't be no problem in your obedience. Now, of course, you're going to have challenges in life. Jesus had challenges from Satan himself. The whole time he was on earth, he had challenges from Satan. You are going to have the same thing because he tells us that we're going to have those persecutions. When you become a Christian, you shall be persecuted. If you don't want no persecution, don't worry about it. You can hang out in the wayside soil. You can hang out in the stony soil. You can hang out there in that stony soil. But guess what? You're lost. You're lost in those soil. The only salvation and the only way you can have that good and honest heart is to be in the good ground or that good soil. That's the only place salvation is. All right? That's how I just want to share that with you. I told you I didn't come to preach. I just come to share a lesson with you. That's all. And I'm through. You've heard it. I've told you how it is. That's what you need to do. If anyone who's done anything to cause God to be grieved and the Holy Spirit to be grieved by living contrary to God's word or God's will, you know what response you need to make. And you know what statements you need to make. And I'm quite sure all of us need to know, all of us know that what we need to do based on what God's word teaches us, that we might be right with him, because where God is, there's no sin. So as we stand at this time and sing the closing song, let us make the proper decision that we might be right with God and stay in the ark of safety. Let us stand and sing the song.
Can wash away my sin.